Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical anti-capitalist approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Everyone, and welcome to the 90th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. Thank you all for being here. This week, what we're going to talk about is the Eight of Cups. And as I explained in the episode about the Three of Swords, is the podcast format is going to change a little bit in that we're going to have a monthly topic-based episode that is going to be prepared with help from my patrons. So we had a four-card drawing last month, and patrons voted on an episode about the Eight of Cups. And for this episode, I really wanted to bring on Viv, because Viv always shares so much. And if you've taken any classes with me in the last couple of years, or you're on the Patreon and you're on the Discord, you probably already know Viv, because they are a huge contributor, and they always share so much valuable information. So I wanted to bring Viv on and have this conversation about the Eight of Cups. And our focus was really about not only trauma healing and relational work, but also disability justice, anarchism, mutual aid, and not being able to rely on a system, so instead learning to rely on one another. So I hope you love this conversation, and if you want to contribute to further conversations, you can join the Patreon and join the Discord and talk to us all about tarot and plant medicine and these episodes and anything else. And Viv also helps me facilitate a monthly tarot talk, and we do these with the Tarot School for Liberation students, where we just give folks a monthly time to check in, ask any questions, and we always do practice readings on each other, and that's been super fun. I think we've been doing them since about November or December, so I've gotten to know so many students and patrons that way. And I'm also hoping to maybe have some of the regulars come on and share their thoughts in future episodes. So check out Tarot School for Liberation if you haven't already joined. There are three payment options. I think it's pretty affordable compared to a lot of the other classes out there, especially considering how much content you get and that you get monthly access to the tarot chats pretty much as long as they will continue. And I hope they will continue for a long time, because it's one of my favorite parts of my quote unquote job. I recently decided to take my schedule down for new clients. I was looking over my reading history, and since September 2020, when I had to get a new phone because my phone broke, I have read for well over 100 people. And most of those people were also students and or their clients who have returned more than once for readings. And really what I decided from looking at this, it was really surprising to me. I hadn't realized it had been that many. And, you know, there were many before that. It was just like I lost a lot of my data when I had my phone break. So just having that consideration, I have been thinking a lot about my capacity. I am in a moon year, and I'm also in a 5-year. This is my 5th year of being a full-time witch, and I just need to consider where my energy goes. And I decided I have the coolest clients in the world. My clients are very radical. They want to talk about how they can serve their communities in the world and how they can heal their wounds. And I always love talking to people who are really interested in shadow work and abolition. And I get a lot of clients who are like that, and I'm really thankful for that. So from here on out, I'm only going to be offering tarot readings to Tarot School for Liberation students, previous and current clients, and to patrons. So I'll have an availability for Patreon as well. So if you want to work with me in that way, definitely check out Tarot School for Liberation or the Patreon. And if you're a previous client, shout out to you. I'll be sending out a couple of emails a year with updates and the scheduling that I have available. We're in mid-spring, and I'm really excited for some projects I'm going to be doing in Beltane, and I also wanted to let y'all know the herbal harm reduction class that happened last week was really amazing. I really loved being in that space and talking about how we can support folks in active addiction, because I really think harm reduction and supporting people in active addiction and recovery is really like a crux of social justice work in late capitalism. So it was really great to gather with folks. And because of the interest, I'm opening up another session in May. I think it's Wednesday, May 11th. You can check it out on the website. I'll have a link in show notes. And I have a couple of spots left for folks that are involved in mutual aid organizing or harm reduction. They're free spots because I really want to share this information with people who can apply it to their work in the community. I will say, like, I get a lot of people who work at nonprofits or federally funded programs asking for a free spot, and I just don't have the capacity for that because no one is sponsoring me. I'm just doing it because I think that's the ethical thing to do. So I don't really, if you are in a paid position and your agency has federal funds or is a nonprofit, please considering like either paying for the class or asking your organization to cover the payment of the class as part of your work. This Tuesday also I'm teaching a heart tending to the heart class about grief and boundaries and trauma and supporting folks going through those things, which I think is all of us in these times, with plant medicines. So there's still spots in that class. I'm pretty much full on the mutual aid spots, but you still have like a day and a half to register for that if you listen to this episode on time. And then May 10th, I have my class, Make Your Own Magic, on flower essences. And all of these classes are open, free spots for mutual aid organizers who aren't under a federally funded or nonprofit umbrella. And there's a limit of 25 students per class. And that's because this is sensitive information. These are intimate conversations we're going to be having. And, you know, I want to keep the space small. And then it includes also the folks that are in my Plant Witch mentorship circle, which, by the way, is open. I don't have the like updated schedule up yet, but you are free to apply for that whenever you would like. The application is up on the website. So thank you all again for tuning in. I can't believe we're at 90, episode 90. And I think I've been doing this podcast for like 4 years, and I really want to sustain this work. So I appreciate everybody who supports the podcast, whether that be making a monthly financial donation that goes along with your means, or leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just sharing on social media and sharing with your friends and comrades. It really helps sustain this work, and I hope to continue to make this podcast for as long as is possible. One last thing is that I've been doing a sale. This is the biggest sale of the year on Apothecary zines and stickers. It's 40% off all orders of $40 or more. And you can still get that. It's going through tomorrow at midnight. So if you listen to this before Monday, April 18th, you can go to the website, use the code RISEUP for 40% off orders of $40 or more. This is going to be, I mean, I don't know, maybe around Black Friday. I hate Black Friday. Maybe around Black Friday or December, I'll have a sale that's comparable, but by then a lot of stuff probably will be sold out forever. So check out the website. Link is in profile. And I think that is the only announcement. Those are the only announcements I have to share. But I do have a lot of exciting announcements about like new offerings, new classes that I think I'll be ready to share with you next month. But I have to check in with my collaborators. So join the mailing list. Definitely join the mailing list if you want to be on, like, if you want to receive this information first. I also have been like more active on TikTok, and you can find me there, Rise Up Good Witch Podcast. And I am more and more less active on Instagram. I do have somebody helping me to make the posts because it's still the platform where I have the most people, even if I get like the least visibility there. Thanks so much, Meta, for shadow banning radical business, small business owners, and so many other folks from marginalized populations. It's like capitalism, y'all. Etsy strikes and Meta taking over and Elon Musk buying Twitter. Yeah, we've been in dystopia a while. We're moving further and further into dystopia. But, you know, that's a lot what Viv and I talk about today. So I hope you love this conversation. We're going to do it a little differently now because I'm going to share the conversation I had with Viv. And then after I'm done sharing the conversation with Viv, I'm going to read some of the comments I got on the Discord from patrons who wanted to share about the Eight of Cups. So when the interview is over, keep listening. There's more for you. And once again, thanks, y'all. Shout out to all of you all over. I'm so thankful for you. I know my listeners are like the coolest, most badass people ever. So shout out to y'all. And if I don't see you before then, happy Beltane. Everyone, I'm here today with the amazing Viv. Viv is my helper. If you've been in any of my classes in the last couple of years, you may know Viv because they are an awesome teacher, I guess, like my assistant, my tarot writer die. That's what I've called you on the Discord. So anyway, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Viv. I'm a white queer person currently living on Coast Salish lands here in Tillicum, Washington. I am a caregiver, licensed professional caregiver in my day-to-day life, and I've also been reading tarot since 2013. I have read mostly for myself through that time, most consistently. I also consider myself to be a tarot student, a tarot theorist, if you will. I really like to spend time thinking about tarot and how it connects to concepts that are important in my life, especially personal mythology, understanding of the self through a societal lens. I studied international politics and sociology in school. And so I like to connect anything at my individual level to the larger collective consciousness and subconsciousness. So that always bleeds into my tarot work.
Awesome. So I invited you on because you are brilliant and you share a lot of like amazing stuff in the Discord communities, both for the Rise of Good Witch podcast and also for Tarot School for Liberation. And yeah, I really wanted you to come on and like be an occasional co-host for these tarot talks because I appreciate your insight. So the patrons last month voted on, and I need to like pull the card for this month, by the way. The patrons, they voted on Eight of Cups. I pulled four cards, Eight of Cups came up. And the magical thing is, Eight of Cups was one of the cards that I was really thinking about doing. It always works out like that. Tarot's magical like that. It does things that you can't really explain with science. But that said, patrons voted on Eight of Cups. So, you know, what are your feelings and thoughts about Eight of Cups? How does that feel to you, especially from this, you know, you said international studies sociology, right? Yeah. So from that perspective and yeah.
I love that you were kind of hoping for that to be the card that was picked and then everyone met you in that hope. And I think that that speaks to the fact that we're all probably navigating very similar feelings, especially as you work to cultivate your community, as you work to like better understand your patrons and try to show up for what they want to learn about with tarot and things like that. Of course, everyone is in Eight of Cups right now. We're in, you know, rolling in the third year of the pandemic. We are trying to figure out ourselves and leaning into spirituality, connecting to tools and resources that have often been stigmatized, including tarot, right? So for the Eight of Cups to have been what was chosen, I was like, oh yeah, I feel like everyone is moving through some grief, probably some feelings of not knowing what the path ahead of us looks like, but also holding on to some hope too at the same time. I know at least in my friend groups, whenever we're talking to one another, it's always like, wow, shit's hard right now. But I actually have a lot of hope for the ways that we are more deeply connecting with one another, figuring each other out, figuring ourselves out, and like using that to connect with the world at large in a way that I don't think society has allowed us to, at least in my 30 years of like existence, right? I'm glad that we're gonna be able to talk about it.
Yeah, me too. And it's funny because Eight of Cups has always been a card that has meant a lot to me. And definitely when I started Rise Up Good Witch, I mean, I started it in 2017, and at that point in time, I had no intention of turning it into full-time work, at least for a few years, because I was finishing grad school. I had my heart set on working in public health research. And then I kind of like had a series of awakenings where I was like, I don't think that I'm really designed for 9-to-5 work. I don't really think I'm designed for like institutional work. And yet there I was with all this student loan debt. And then I was like, I want to make this happen. Like there's been years that I wanted to be a professional tarot reader. I even remember like 2014, like right before I started my degree in anthropology, going on this hike with a friend, and we were looking out over this forest. We went to there's a really cute hiking place in Humboldt County called Strawberry Rock. Some people listening to this are going to know what I'm talking about. And you scale this, it's a walk through a forest, and then you scale this rock at the end and you get to this point where you can see just like probably miles of forest and ocean in every direction, not ocean in every direction, clearly. And I was sitting there and my friend was like, Karina, do you really want to go to grad school? Like, do you really want to, or do you just think that you have to? And I was like, kind of defensive. I was like, no, I mean, I want to write and I want to be, how do I write? I'm not going to like just get a job writing. So I think I need to do research so I can write. And my friend was like, well, if you could do anything, what would you do? And I was like, without just like not skipping a beat, I was like, I'd be a tarot reader who also had like a medicinal herb garden, and I would make formulas also based on like astrological stuff and tarot cards. And my friend was like, well, why don't you just do that? And I'm like, how? I don't have money. Like, I don't know how to promote myself. And I had tried before that to promote myself. So when I got to that moment, I had this really strong feeling of like, this is the time. And you're going to have to take the risk, and you're probably going to get into more debt, which I did. But this is your moment. And if you want to live this fulfilling life, if you want to have a life where, you know, you feel fulfilled, because I've never, ever been happy in a 9-to-5 job. I've always felt very, very depressed, and that I had to be self-destructive for myself to kind of like release the overstimulation and the tension of the stressful jobs that I worked. So I'm kind of going off, but that's what I do. You know that, Viv. But yeah, that was the moment the Eight of Cups came through to me. I was like, what if I studied and I worked hard and I have all these skills and I spent, you know, nearly 20 years in the workforce building up all these skills, and I just trashed it and threw it away for what I really wanted to do. And to me in that moment, it was very Eight of Cups, because it was a risk that no one in my life understood or supported really. And I had to go internally and trust my path and my intuition. And it thus far has worked out.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on making that step and trusting yourself enough with that. I love that you mentioned that it was an act of intuition and like that brought you on this Eight of Cups path, because especially in the Coleman Smith rendition of the Eight of Cups, we have that big full moon in this clear sky, right? And to me, whenever we see the moon, it really connects to instinct, intuition, these like gut feelings that we can't necessarily explain, but they're coming from somewhere beyond our conscious level thinking, whether that's ancestral guidance or maybe a memory or a pattern that you have forgotten that you used to live through. If you believe in like past lives and things like that, maybe it's a lesson that's coming through that you've learned in a different incarnation. And I love that the moon is full and just watching this figure walk on their path in this clear sky. There's no other stars or anything to guide. It's just intuition. So I really love that you felt that it was intuitive for you to make the change from the 9 to 5 to heading into Rise Up Good Witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I love what you share, you know, about that path of the moon and the intuition, because I think something that people get wrong a lot with tarot, well, I don't want to tell people what's right or wrong, but it's contrary to my belief system that the cups are just about romantic love, you know? And we've talked a lot about that. We talk about that in Tarot School for Liberation, that swords is pain, wands is ambition, cups is romance, pentacles is career, you know? And when we think about what cups are, they are about our emotional wellness, our ability to feel our feelings, our intuition, and our trauma healing journeys. So I'm curious, because, you know, you brought up the ancestral piece. And as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I've never thought of those 8 cups on the shore as being the ancestors that maybe tried to do the things that we do in this lifetime and are rooting us on or cheering us on, because they're watching us live their dreams. And I know you've talked a lot about, you know, your research and work around, you know, anti-racist, white ancestral connection and ritual. So I was wondering if you wanted to share a little about that and like, if you have a way to apply that to the 8 of Cups.
Part of the way that I was thinking about the 8 of Cups and the idea of time is both past and future for me in the 8 of Cups. And that's influenced by the star. And I want to talk about that a little bit later, but one thing that I wrote down while I was really sitting with the 8 of Cups is, where did these 8 cups come from? Were they inherited? Did someone gift these cups to the figure who's now leaving them behind? And when we think about there being 8 cups, but there's only one figure in the image, I really wonder, like, who were all 8 of these cups serving? Were they all for this one person? And how did they collect them? Did they make them? Were they inherited? And for me, within my own personal healing, in terms of, if we think about the cup suit as trauma healing, right? A lot of my work with the tarot revolves around the failings of the nuclear family unit, especially in white so-called America. Right? There's a lot of wounds that I feel I was born into in my family line that I want to take responsibility for and that I want to be ready to integrate if they need to be integrated and release them if they need to be released. And especially as a queer person, as a non-binary person, as an asexual person, a lot of those things really come together to help me understand that the relationship building, the bond building, the procreative side of white family ties, like a lot of that stuff is really harmful and really just murky to trudge through and try to figure out, you know, what an emotional bond means when you grow up in an emotionally stunted family, when like you're basically, you know, crafted to be this being that only talks in small talk, that only relates to one another through wanting to share your own perspective, you know, what are these 8 cups serving? Was it a big family dinner or was it, you know, was it actually just, I'm still working on that, obviously, but you know, it's a card that I feel can invite us to ask, is the figure leaving them behind because all the mouths that drank from those cups are like no longer safe to be around, or are they moving toward community because all that's left is the cups? These are some questions that I like to reflect on when I pull this card.
I love that. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It makes me think about, like you said, like coming from an emotionally stunted family or a family with a long line of trauma that they chose not to heal because they chose to invalidate themselves. And that's like something I'm going through is I think like, and something I see reflected in like millennials and even more so in Gen Z. And we were kind of talking about Gen Z on TikTok before we started recording and how, you know, I don't know if you've read about this, but Gen Z is the quality in like some research that was done, the quality that Gen Z most looks for in a partner is if they go to therapy. Like how different is that to baby than baby boomers? You know, I feel like baby boomers, like, I look for someone that stuffs all their emotions down to get through life and buy a house, you know, not that it was hard for them to buy a house, but so I know that you identify as a budding anarchist. Love that. You know, there's something about the Eight of Cups that's like, you need to take this risk and you might not get to the top of the mountain, but the act of trying is the most potent. And for me, like now in the last couple of years, you know, because I have struggled internally with my anarchist perspective for so many years before finally embracing it, because I kind of talked myself out, like, how would that ever happen? Like, what's the point? And as I've gotten older, I'm like, well, it's not about what the point is. It's about the work when we know that our government won't support us. And I actually want to share, this is a good moment for me to share these memes. And, you know, I shared this quite a while ago, are comparing the Eight of Pentacles with the Eight of Cups. And the Eight of Pentacles says, capitalism means the working class depends on a job market that helps the 1% get richer and maintains intergenerational poverty. Eight of Cups. Anarchism means we detach from all internal and external systems of hierarchy, paternalism, and we can take care of us. So yeah, I was, and I'll share the other one after you share, because I want to give you a chance. But yeah, I'm curious, like, as you know, you're on your like anarchist journey, how the Eight of Cups has shown up for you, if it has at all.
I identify as a budding anarchist just because, you know, I'm hesitant to claim any title, honestly. But I will say that growing up incredibly poor in a family that was raised by a single mom, you know, I was really confronted with a lot of the ways that white supremacy and that the government really fails people at an individual level. You know, I think that the Eight of Cups invites us to recognize that what's being built is actually incompletable, you know? Like when you look at the imagery on the Eight of Cups in the Coleman Smith version, it looks like someone's been trying to build a pyramid with these cups. Mm-hmm. And there is just no possible way to build a pyramid with eight cups. You regard, like, depending on the number that you have at the bottom, and in this particular depiction there's five, you're never going to complete that pyramid with just eight cups, and just eight cups is all you have. So recognizing the limitations of your resources, emotional or otherwise, I think is one way that I started to radicalize, because wanting to be a cog in the machine of democracy when that democracy is largely failing people regardless of how much work each individual person puts in, you know, I wanted to focus smaller. There's no amount of grand work that I myself, Vive, can be doing that will ripple out any farther than like my tight-knit community. So understanding that it's not about changing, I cannot personally change the systems that are already in existence. But what I can do is I can show up for community. I can show up for friends and comrades and people that I want to build affinity with. I can, I have to recognize though, through the Eight of Cups and through strength, really, Major Arcana 8 in my framework, I have to recognize where I'm not capable. And I'm not capable of like, showing up and writing a speech about democracy and like, you know, trying to be a good patriot or whatever the heck, right? And I was really taught that through caregiving, through being a professional caregiver, recognizing the failings of government and the ways in which so many folks are pushed to the wayside in favor of the majority or in favor of the folks that, you know, maybe don't need as much support and things like that. You know, so the combo of like being super poor, growing up in like a failed family, being touched by caregiving and just trying to show up for folks. Yeah, it really shows you that you have to do what you can with what you have, but you have to not pretend you have more than you do, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you're kind of bringing in this like disability justice framework when you're talking about the Eight of Cups, because yeah, the government does fail people with disabled folks. Like the government really, yeah, I feel like, yeah, obviously. And really like this, these pandemic times have done nothing but prove that to us, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet we also see how many people also don't care about disabled people. And, you know, whether that be like physical disabilities that are very visible or chronic health issues, mental health issues, trauma, you know, can be very disabling or can limit ability or make fluctuating abilities in the body and the mind. And the pandemic really showed us that. I think the pandemic has revealed, and I think, you know, we were just talking about, I spend a lot of time now, I'm like way more into TikTok. And there's a lot of leftist accounts that are like Gen Zers. And I've been noticing lately, they're saying like they were Democrats in 2020. And now they're, you know, Marxists or anarchists or communists or whatever. They're like to the left, you know, to the left of everything that we see in our current society. And I think that's becoming a thing. You know, I think like more and more people are just losing trust and faith in the government. You know, as I tell my moderate liberal mom, who is like, I wish that you believed in the Democratic Party. And I'm like, if they would do good things, I would believe in them. But I've spent my whole adult life trying. I mean, not my whole adult life. I've given up for a while. But I spent a lot of my adult life trying to believe in democracy, trying. And it just, you can only, it's almost like a heartbreak, I think. It's like a heartbreak. You're like, come on, Supreme Court, do the right thing. Come on, cancel student loans, you know? And then they don't do it. And you're like, why did I bring myself up just to let myself down? So what I appreciate about anarchism that I think a lot of people don't understand, because a lot of people, you know, still associate anarchism and Antifa as being these like violent movements. And the reality is that all the anarchists I know are incredibly educated, incredibly smart, and they understand that it's just about focusing on communities instead of government, because we have had to recognize that the government is failing so many people, disabled folks, working class and houseless folks, folks living with addiction, BIPOC, trans folks, you know, queer folks, sex workers, all of these people. And to a degree, I think like middle class white people are getting failed. You know, I think a lot of people are being failed by the system. And people are starting to recognize that we have to take things into our own hands. So actually, I'm going to share the other meme, because that like totally goes with like, you know, what I'm sharing. So this new meme I made, I'll show it. You probably won't be able to. Nope, you can't see. Can you? Nope, you can't see.
Oh, not quite.
This one is the Eight of Wands with the Eight of Cups. And the Eight of Wands says, waiting to see if Democrats cancel student loans, regulate water usage and Airbnb, fund affordable health care, and create rehabilitation pathways for incarcerated folks. Eight of Cups is accepting that the government will never care about anything but the economy and learning to organize our communities and heal our own wounding.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited. That one's new to me, so I'm going to sit with that one. I hope you post it to the Discord. Yeah. A lot of things that I reflect on largely is like, the social contract, you know, like what does it mean to be in society with one another? Why are we diverting power to structures instead of to one another? You know, why are we so ready to accept a title or a position that holds authority over us instead of like claiming our autonomy? And I can see that in the in the figure in the Eight of Cups, walking away from all of these cups, right? What are they walking away from and what are they walking toward? Was the community that was drinking out of these cups unsustainable? Was it actually harming them? Was it built on false morals and empty promises? And they go off to seek real community, or they go off to find themselves so that they can come back and find real community. What are they walking away from?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And that reminds me, that makes me think about, like, I've always thought, or I think like before, that the eight cups you walk away from are your community and your family. You know, if you have a healthy family or whatever family means to you, and you're walking away to like achieve something bigger, but you can always go back. But then also there's this idea, you know, of like recognizing you come from a toxic family structure, and that continuing to be in that structure, unfortunately, means that there are parts of you that will not be able to heal. So that kind of, I don't know if that's what you meant, but that kind of came up when you said that.
Yeah. It's hard not to notice what's missing when you're in the middle of building something and it's just not coming together. Yeah. It's hard to see anything but that gap in the cups and the next tier that didn't get added. Yeah. And it's hard to make those choices, to recognize your limitations, your capacities, what you're good at, what you can offer, what you can't offer. Those are all hard questions to ask yourself and be confronted with. And that's where I think that strength as an ally card to the Eight of Cups comes in, because it shows that regardless of resources and tools that can be added to a situation, your inherent gifts and your inherent skills and even your inherent limitations show you where you can and cannot put your energy. You know, so depending on the depiction of strength, of course, some decks take more of like a lion tamer kind of approach to it. But speaking specifically to the Coleman Smith rendition, where this figure is barehandedly, you know, petting or, you know, interacting with this beast, we have to know that there are many ways to embody our strengths. And in the Eight of Cups, we see this figure really, I feel, taking the reins in their own autonomy and being like, I gotta go, you know, even though we're building, even though there's excess here, you know, the star to me, I love the star. And that's probably because I have quite a bit of Aquarius placements in my chart. But I really like to think about how the star, the figure in the star, is holding these jugs of water. And there's really no structure or like society in the star. It's kind of a wilderness plain, and the figure is nude and it's nighttime. So we can think of, if we were embodying this person in this card, how might we feel being nude in the middle of nowhere with no resources and it's nighttime? We might feel very vulnerable, right? Or that we might, especially if we have trauma around resourcing, we might tiptoe into scarcity mindset where we're like, I don't have what I need to survive right now. And yet the figure in the star is not pouring themselves a cup of water. They're not trying to drink the water themselves so that they can be sustained. Instead, they pour it directly into the earth. And to me, that's an offering to and an honoring of futurity, of the future existing. The figure in the star is offering unto the earth so that life can continue forward and onward. And I know in the Discord, I had mentioned a little phrase that I was really proud of. And I said that the future is not just a moment away. Future is infinite, right? And I think that the star really speaks to that. So when we look at the Eight of Cups, numerologically associated with 17, the star, what future is the figure headed toward? And by doing this work of maybe declining the cups and the sustenance that the cups could have afforded them, what kind of future are they building instead?
And that, you know, that really plays into this like in the pandemic, the Eight of Cups to me feels like, yeah, like we're dealing with massive, many issues that are incredibly difficult. Like, one of the things that frustrates me about people that, like really try to like promote the Democratic Party is this idea of like, we'll just vote in representatives that'll make good laws. And I'm like, there are incarcerated people. There are millions of incarcerated people. So when you say that, there are millions of sick people that don't have health care. There are millions of houseless people. And when you say, let's wait and vote somebody in, you're basically like, those people can continue to suffer until we get someone who won't even do anything anyway, we'll just protect corporate interests. So I think, like, yeah, with the Eight of Cups, it's like, yeah, we're dealing with the fact that we will probably run out of all drinking water in 18 years. In 18 years, we're going to be seeing a large amount of land being unlivable because of climate change. And this is happening much more rapidly even than scientists thought. And all of these things are happening. And yet, where is that hope? What if we can rebuild a healthy society? What if we can like awaken white folks to the reality of the way that we benefit from white supremacy so they will continue, they won't continue to defend it and hold tight to it, All of these things, like that is to me, the Eight of Cups is like, we need that kernel of hope. How can we survive without some hope that we will be able to sustain ourselves and live a whole life like in the way the world is collapsing? And with the star, I love your interpretation and the vulnerability in it. And I always think about reciprocity with like the pitcher that pours water into the pond and the pitcher of water that pours water onto the ground. It's like we must, and I think about that with like flower essences, plant medicine, all of our ancestors regarding, despite wherever they're from, we're not, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for every ancestor, but I feel like every part of the world it contained people that were believed in tending to the land, believed in having a relationship to the land, and that is so lost in this so-called country, We are so disconnected from that. And this idea of reciprocity and like giving back to the land, like when I make flower essences and I really, well, I did this before, but it was really fortified when I took Liz from Sister Spinster's flower essence class, Turning Towards the Flower, about like you offer that flower water. I mean, sometimes we pick those flowers. I hate seeing on Instagram those bowls of like tons and tons of flowers. I'm like, a flower essence, you don't even need, you don't even need to pick any flowers to make a effective flower essence. It's the intention there, and you always give some of the water back to the plant because we don't extract from this earth without a, intention and acknowledgement, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I there's no way there is no way to take without also giving an energy back, and whether that energy is like malignant or benevolent, right? Like the energy's there regardless. And while you were talking, I was just reminded that for me personally in my life, I try to consider hope as an active process that I'm participating in. If I'm feeling, I mean, I can definitely get stuck in like nihilism and like nothing's worth it and like everything is crumbling anyway, so why try? But for me, hope is an active process. Otherwise, it's just ignorance or deflection, right? If we hope that someone else will be doing something, not to always take it back to autonomy and agency, but we're giving up the opportunity that we have to affect change, and not always just change, but to affect action, to affect a movement of some kind. Yeah, and I see that in the star. I don't think that hope is waiting for the earth to be filled with water. I think hope is the act of that figure pouring those cups out, or excuse me, those like vases out, right?
Okay, so I did want to share some of the feedback I got on the Discord about the Eight of Cups and how folks feel about it and how they relate to it. Christina says, maybe it's basic, but I see it as the I waited so long at the bus stop, I don't want to leave because the bus should be coming. walking away from time, resources invested, and how hard that feels once you realize you gotta hoof it and you are cold, but still standing is no longer an option. Former plant witch Ray says, "What's hard to me about this card is keeping that hope of something better. Because the figure starting to walk through the mountains shows us it's not an easy journey ahead. It feels like leaving a familiar but shitty situation, which requires somewhat of a mini tower moment. Recognizing that this familiar and comfortable place is actually not safe. The discomfort at first can be so painful. So how do you encourage yourself to keep going?" Thank you, Ray and Christina. Very insightful, very relatable metaphors and insights. And Rising Above the Wound student and Plant Witch student Jasmine shares, "To me, the Eight of Cups is about vulnerability and striving. It is about honoring your past and demanding more for your future. I see it as moving through scarcity, of being grateful for everything in the past and being honest that it isn't enough to sustain ourselves. I see that honesty, that moment of talking to someone about what you really need in order to feel safe and succeed at home. That's the vulnerability I see in this card." Another way to phrase it, I see the Eight of Cups as the moment of vulnerability when you vocalize what you want. For me, that is so scary because it can result in rejection or shame, both in external and internal. And I draw on this card to support me through those feelings. So thanks, y'all. Thank you, Jasmine. Highly relatable. And we can see that cups are emotions, but they're also about so much more. They're about the ways that we fill our lives. So I hope that everybody enjoyed this episode and learned something new about how to apply the Eight of Cups to your own life. And I hope to see some of you in Tarot School for Liberation. Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, where a pledge of $5 or more per month gets you access to extra content and helps support the production of the show. And go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also check out the website for tarot readings and apothecary and other offerings. Thanks so much, y'all. See you next time.